Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
How are you guys doing? Welcome. Hey, we're back. Yes, we are back. We've been gone for about 9-ish, maybe longer days. I don't know. I actually got stuck in France for an additional day, not on purpose. Not on purpose, by the way, if you guys did not know. Going into France, you actually do not need to have a COVID test. You just have to be vaccinated. So when you land there, you show proof, you're good. You get your little vaccine passport, by the way. I don't think that's ever going to fly here in America. It'll probably be deemed as unconstitutional because it is very weird. And honestly, a lot of the people in France, they don't care about it unless like you go into a restaurant. For some reason, restaurants, really weird. You walk into a restaurant, they put like rope in front of the door so you can't walk in. You have to have it scanned to go in, and then you're allowed to in. But Cammie and I were actually in this place called Rouen. I think it's called Rouen. We were inside the restaurant. We scanned our thing. But outside of it, they were having a festival with like legitimately tens of thousands of people on the streets. I mean, jam-packed. To go to this festival, you didn't need to have one. But to walk into the restaurant, which was literally just you sitting outside, you had to have one. It's really goofy. It's the way it goes. I don't know. There's that. Paris itself, though, a little overpriced. Everybody is slightly a bit more rude there than anywhere else. There's no Ubers there. So you're aware, no Lyfts, no Ubers, no nothing. You have to get a taxi cab, and that's it. And I drove the entire time, so parking is a mess. And imagine they built parking garages on a city that's been around since basically the beginning of time, so the parking garages are very narrow and very tidy. And there's no trucks in France whatsoever, or in Paris at all, so it's all real tiny cars. So I don't know, it's kind of a eye-opening experience. You only need like 2 or 3 days max there. You get to go see stuff like the Louvre and Eiffel Tower and Palace of Versailles. All cool places. Didn't really find them too awesome. My favorite part of Paris was the Eiffel Tower. Really tall tower. I learned a lot of history about it, and that's pretty much that. But outside of that, Normandy is absolutely awesome. Caen and Rouen and Carentan. Now, St. Mary Glace was absolutely awesome for the fact that I actually got to stand in the exact same spots as our men when they came over there and they took the beaches. And then when I went on the beaches, I got to stand in the exact same spots. If you guys have not seen that video, you guys can. It's over on Lunkers TV. I just posted it. It's like almost 40 minutes long, and I went everywhere. And it was awesome. I am going to go back to France, 100%. But I will not spend any time in Paris. I will get off the plane, get a rental car, and drive to Normandy. And then I'll do a couple more things that I didn't get to finish doing up there. And then I'll drive actually down the southern end of France and probably go and do a little bit of the wine country stuff. And that's pretty much that. France is very beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It is very, very, very beautiful country. It really is. Like the northern part of Normandy, all the hedgerows that we were fighting in back in World War II, they're nuts. You see them inside the videos, like on World War II shows and movies. You don't really get an idea how thick they are until you get there. Them son of a guns are, I don't even know, 15 foot wide, thick. I mean, you can imagine having to fight through these hedgerows back then. You couldn't see the Germans on the backside. They could probably cut what we would call as a sniper world. They can literally cut themselves like a loophole where they can shoot through. You can't see through, but they can see you on the backside. So it is kind of interesting to see how our boys had to fight against the Germans. I literally went to the exact same spot that they went in Band of Brothers when they took out the guns. Now, you know how cool that was? I got to literally stand there next to, they have a, I wouldn't have known this, by the way. You guys need to get, if you go to Normandy, you need to get a tour guide. You can do a private one for like $300. It is well worth the money because they'll take you to places like this. It was a GPS coordinate in the middle of a field, and it had a monument there for them for taking over that area and destroying all those guns. It was really cool. Like, you're sitting there, there's now cows and stuff all around you. Like, back in the day, there was trenches, and she explained to me that right over there, they had ran through the trenches. There was guys climbing the trees, shooting Germans from the top of the trees. I was like, this is crazy. She's telling me stuff I didn't even know. So, there you go. There's that. And if you guys ever go, the beaches, they never actually had sand dunes on the edge of them. They were flat on Utah. They were flat when you go to Utah. They now have like a dune there. And the locals built the dune now to stop from the water coming or pushing all the sand and everything into their farms. So it's like a wall. So there you go. A lot of history. Tons of history in France. Anyway, glad to be back. We're going to be back to doing these things daily. We actually are going to be launching Guggen Uncut as well today. Flair and I, this is Monday, we're actually launching Guggen Uncut today at 5 p.m., which is going to be the uncut version of everything you've ever wanted when it comes to content. So I'm talking about all the hunting and shooting and fishing, and not essentially fishing, but all the hunting, shooting, all the stuff that we can't put on YouTube, like at all. We've been like what you guys known me for back in the past, like all the cutting up of animals, all like the real raw stuff, all the uncut stuff, that's going to be going on this platform, and it's called GuganUncut.com. It'll go live today at 5 p.m. I have legitimately, when I say this, 150 plus videos I had to take down off YouTube that'll be put onto this platform. 100, you guys know how long it takes to film and edit 150? I mean, we're talking, I know this is going to sound stupid, but if we want to say roughly probably 1,000 hours worth of editing just on those videos alone, plus the, like, imagine how much work when it comes to filming. Now, I'm putting all those on there. Plus, every single week, there'll be probably roughly 5 new videos from myself and Flair, like brand new videos no one's ever seen, every single week. And then we're going to hopefully bring on more content creators as it goes on, if it continues to grow. That's the goal, is to actually keep bringing people on and paying them to put content onto this platform from you guys to watch. So that's our end goal. We're kind of tired of big tech and everything. The censorship has been absolutely crazy when it comes to some of the stuff that's why you guys haven't seen me post a lot of stuff on Lunkers TV itself. It's because I've been dinged so much. It's like I'm like one ding away from losing the entire channel. Same with Flair. So that's why we decided to do this. So if you guys want to check it out, go to GuganUncut.com here around 5 p.m. Eastern time. If you guys are wanting to, you guys can go sign up for it. It's awesome. We're giving away $2,500 gun every single month as well. We're going to give somebody $2,500 to utilize towards buying whatever gun they would like. Flying people out to do hunting trips every quarter. This first one here in 12 days, you're going to be flying somebody to Flair's Ranch to hunt a deer, hunt a turkey, hunt whatever you want, literally on Flair's farm. We're trying to give back at the same time and actually be able to do this kind of stuff, because on YouTube, we're not able to do it. You cannot do it on YouTube. You can't give away guns. You can't give away hunting trips like this. They're really against it. So we're like, you know what? We're going to make our own platform and we're going to do it. So if you guys want to check it out, like I said, GuganUncut.com. Come hang out with Flair and I right now. Hopefully we'll bring on more people if it continues to grow. So we're going to go ahead and kick this off. We got a little bit of Fauci-ouchie kind of guy. You guys know what the deal is with him. Oh, by the way, if you guys didn't see an intro, like, you know, my original intro to this channel, like, you know, the one with World War II scenes and people talking and presidents, it's because YouTube deemed it as being controversial. That is not a joke. I'm not even kidding when I say that. The intro that we usually play in these things was deemed controversial, and that's why every single one of my videos had to be manually reviewed on this channel. That's what they think. They don't know yet. So that's why you didn't see one on the beginning of this one. It's too badass, apparently, for the people at YouTube, which is so goofy. The National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease found that more than $400,000 in taxpayer money was spent on canine experiments during which beagles were infected with parasites biting flies. I know a lot of you guys have heard about this. It's been going on for a couple days. And this is the same guy that we're trusting with the COVID stuff, like handling of where the COVID came from. And he's lied the entire time, exactly as a lot of us do know. And the project reported that Dr. Anthony Fauci's budget, his bureaucracy budget in 2021, is an estimated $6 billion. And that documents obtained through FOIA show evidence of a study in which otherwise healthy beagles were treated with an experimental medication before being introduced to biting flies that were carrying a parasite known to be contagious to humans. Yes, the pictures of this thing is very, very disturbing. I'm not going to show them on YouTube, and I'm not going to talk about them. But essentially, I know the one that everybody's pretty much seen. Two dogs with their heads shoved into a mesh-looking cage with biting flies in there. And a report shows that under Fauci's direction, the NIAID funded painful and deadly experiments on dogs. They endured months of pain, and once researchers were done with them, they killed them. This is real. I don't know why the crazy thing is, I don't even know why they're doing treatment, I don't even know why they're doing these experiments on beagles. It doesn't really exactly say why. It just says that the beagle is the dog that is utilized the most when it comes to doing animal testing. I don't really know exactly know why, but this image right here of a dog inside, I'm not one to get too soft-hearted when it comes to animals. I'm really not, never have been. Just mainly, I don't know. In Afghanistan, we just treated animals a little bit differently. So ever since then, I don't know. They're dogs, but I definitely do not condone this whatsoever, like at all. I don't think anybody should. Even if you are, I couldn't imagine being a person that's soft-hearted towards animals actually seeing this. Not going to say, I couldn't imagine how they feel, because they're probably God, PETA. I don't know if you guys know this. They actually blocked me on Instagram like 5 years ago for killing. I don't even know why. I've never tagged PETA in my entire life, but they definitely blocked me. But anyway, allegedly 44 beagle puppies were used in North Africa laboratory, and some of the dogs had their vocal cords actually removed so scientists could work without the constant barking. So that's actually kind of, that sounds terrible. Imagine removing a dog's vocal cord so he cannot bark because you're inflicting so much pain on them. Like, who's going to be held accountable for this? Let's be real. Who is actually going to be held accountable for this? Our investigators show that Fauci's NIH division shipped part of $375,800 worth of grant to a lab in Tunisia to drug beagles and to lock their heads in a mesh cage filled with hungry sand flies so that the insects could eat them alive. They also locked beagles alone in cages in the desert overnight for 9 consecutive nights to use them as bait to attract infectious sand flies. See, that is terrible. That right there is absolutely horrible. What kind of human being on planet Earth knowingly is sending money to an organization knowing that they're going out and they're putting these dogs in cages in the middle of the desert to attract hungry sand flies to do tests on? That's terrible. There's got to be other ways to do it. You know, here in Texas and Oklahoma, we actually, why couldn't you just take a thing of spoiled meat and stuck it out there for hungry sand flies? That probably works the same, doesn't it? Why does it have to be a live dog inside of a cage? Just throwing it out there. Many ways that we attract pigs here in Texas. Literally, so many different ways. Imagine if I was putting animals inside of cages. This kind of reminds me of, speaking of animals and cages, the first scene that just reminded me of this for some reason, I think it was in Jurassic Park when they had the goat waiting for the, yeah. Don't know why that image just popped in my head, you know, in the, okay. Anyway, we're done with that. So there you go. Fauci is doing his things. If you guys did not know, this one is terrible. This was terrible. Alec Baldwin. Everybody knows what he did, right? He's been the guy that came after. He's basically played Trump for the last 4 years on SNL. He has made fun of people that carry guns. And I know that he's actually talked terribly about cops and call them killers and all this kind of stuff. And how does it feel to kill innocent people? Well, now it's coming to bite him in the absolute rear end. As we all do know, he accidentally killed somebody over the last week. I couldn't imagine how he feels to accidentally shoot somebody. The shot that killed the cinematographer on a New Mexico film set last week was fired as Alec Baldwin was practicing drawing his gun. So this is the goofy part. He's practicing drawing his gun. So he clearly doesn't. So this goes back to me saying the gentleman who is so against guns. I always find this so ironic that the people in Hollywood are using guns in their films to make money and profit, and yet they come out against guns. It's so asinine. The word of the day, asinine. It is so stupid. I did see a video though of Will Smith. There was a guy that like flagged him, and I don't know if you guys have seen this. He literally gets flagged. Will Smith has really, 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 me and him probably wouldn't see eye to eye in politics and anything gun related, but his handling of weapons is actually really phenomenal. I give him props. He literally disarmed a guy, checked to see if the thing was loaded, and then handed it back. And it was pretty cool. So that was pretty neat. But this kind of gentleman right here, who's been against guns literally his entire time in Hollywood, needs to apparently attend a class on how to properly manage and not point a weapon at somebody. And you do not pull the trigger if you do not intend to shoot the person. That, to me, is kind of goofy. You don't ever, I mean, everybody has gun safety knows you don't pull a trigger, you don't point a weapon at somebody, you don't do anything like that unless you tend to shoot the person. So apparently he was sitting in a pew in a church building setting, and he was practicing a cross draw, which if you guys don't know what a cross draw is, when you're wearing a pistol inside of a harness underneath a jacket and you pull it across your body like this, that's pretty much it. It's a cross draw. But the crazy thing to me still, I know that maybe they just got complacent because it was at a Hollywood, like a setting, like a cast setting. And they think that everything there is fake, but the fact that he pulled it out and knowingly had a person in front of him, like an actual human being in front of him. I don't care if, like, I feel awkward if a child is holding a toy gun, like pointing it at me. You know, you gotta teach him, because it's good to teach good gun safety. Hey, you little shit, you don't point it at people. You know, you kind of take it and you point it towards, like, you know what I mean? You teach them at a young age. And this gentleman, I don't know how old he is, what, 50s, 60s? He's in his 60s, probably, late 50s. Should know. If you're going to point a weapon at somebody, you do not pull the trigger. So in the end, who's going to be held accountable? It's not going to be him. I promise you that much. Because at the same time, it was also confirmed to an investigator that he heard the term cold gun on set, meaning the firearm should be or should have been empty. That right there, so hearing cold gun on set, that does not give anybody the right to accidental discharge. The person holding the weapon should be held accountable for that. Even though you heard cold gun, you should have checked the weapon. I don't know. That's just me, though. I also don't know anything about these sets. I'm thinking about this. Didn't Bruce Lee die like this, too? His son. Yeah, his son. But the even crazier part of this thing, it was actually, they have pretty good measures, but it seems two people checked the three weapons that were brought in. The real question is, how did live ammo get brought in? That's the thing. So now it got me really thinking, was it somebody's personal weapon? Like, are these prop, are they real? Like, this is one thing. Are the weapons that are used inside of movies, are they actually prop guns? Or are they real guns that they just put blanks in? I could see that. I really could. The problem with real guns having blanks in them is sometimes you have a lot of jams and misfires, not really essentially misfires, but you have compression issues when it comes to blanks because they're just different than a live round. So when you have semi-automatic weapons, they will not cycle the rounds sometimes. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. Sorry. We'll go on and move on from that though. We all know that no one's really going to be held accountable in the end. That's going to be a tough one. I don't know the laws behind it, but I don't think you can hold the, I don't know, do you hold the person accountable who put the weapon down on to doing it? Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, this goes on. This is actually from legal experts. So they said that he actually may not even, as you think about it, he probably shouldn't be held accountable, I guess, for that. But being a grown adult, you probably shouldn't ever point a weapon, loaded or not loaded, at anybody. I would assume it's probably going to, this terrible tragic accident is probably going to hold the rest of Hollywood a little bit more accountable when it comes to weapon safety training and or how they get their weapons onto the set, especially if they're trying to monetize off of a firearm that they intend to try to take away from Americans at the same time like he does. So anyway, here we go. We're actually going to shift over to our good friends over in Australia. I know some of you guys actually quite a bit of you guys. Oddly enough, I think 15% of the audience that listens to this is from Australia. Australia. This one I'm actually not really against. A lot of the people on, a lot of the haters that listen to Guggen or watch Guggen stuff and just come on just to say stuff, they always say that our audience is under the age of 16, when in fact, that's actually far from the truth. I think roughly 70% of our audience is 18 to 35. But I do love this right here because I think that social media is terrible actually for the minds of young adults and for other adults. Like, I do know some people that it kind of hurts their feelings if they don't get as much likes on photos or as much engagement on videos. It actually hits people's heads quite a bit. I mean, it is what it is, and it's social media. Australia actually plans to make social media companies obtain a parental consent for users under the age of 16 and threatening fines up to $10 million Australian dollars, was equivalent to $7.5 million US dollars, for internet platforms which fail to comply under the legislation that was published on Monday. That's a draft of it, of course. Social media companies, which include anonymous forums like Reddit and smartphone dating apps like Bumble, would also be required to take all responsible steps to determine users' age and prioritize children's interests when collecting data. I actually am for that. I know that sounds really stupid, but I think that is awesome. I really do. I know that may seem like kind of going into maybe a person's right to do whatever they would like, but I'm talking about it from a 16-year-old getting on some of these apps. That could lead them down the wrong path in general. And I really think that Instagram, for instance, I think it jacks with girls probably the most, not really guys. I think guys under the age of 18 don't really care as much. I don't think they care nearly as much as females. I think females, girls in general, let's be honest, when they go out and we take them to dinner or whatnot, they're not really dressing up for us, for the men that's taking them. They're dressing up for the other women that are out there in the public eye. And they look at each other and they're so judgmental towards each other. And it's very, very obvious. And I see it. Next time you take your girl out, ask her that question. Just ask her. Be honest. Are you dressing up for me? Or are you dressing up to take a photo and or to maybe, I don't know, appeal to the other women that walk by you? Because the other, I don't know. I just think that's just the way it is. That may be really harsh and really rude. But I think that's honestly the way it is. I don't mind taking photos now. I've learned that being with Cammy, that photos are actually a good thing. I used to never take photos. I never took photos. I never really cared. But now I've actually learned to capture the moment. And actually, I look back and I'm like, man, I kind of remember that night. That was a good night. Especially in France. I've never taken so many photos. Legitimately, probably took 1,000 photos. But now I can go back 5 years from now and look at them. It's going to be great. I'll be like, man, I remember that moment. But anyway, that's a random tangent there. Not really a tangent, but just kind of talking. And this next one I actually love even more. Texas. Texas is doing Texas things. I do love it. We're back in America now, if you guys do not know. Australia is not in Texas. And Texas is not in Australia. That's actually what I meant to say. So a federal judge will now allow Texas to seek internal documents from social media companies regarding how they moderate content. Yes, that is right. As the state defends a new law restricting when platforms can suspend users. I live in Texas. It's great. I was talking about it earlier with the Googie and Uncut thing. We know that they suppress people that probably listen to this content. I mean, today on Instagram, matter of fact, is today's either the last day or today I'm going to lose my right to be able to post a link. That's true. I can't even post a link on Instagram anymore. I have almost 750,000 followers on Instagram, and they took my reasoning from taking or being able to post a link is because I'm deemed too unsafe for the community. And the only way that I can think about that is, how can I be unsafe for the community? I've been here for the last 6 years on this platform, on Instagram. Been there for 6 years. And they put if I was so unsafe for the community, why did you give me a set date of October 25th? If I was so unsafe, quote unquote, for the community, why didn't you just take me away right then? Like, if I'm causing that much harm to the people that are viewing my stuff, why didn't you just take my ability to do it right then? They can do that. Could have just banned me right then, right? Just being honest. So I'm glad Texas is doing this. This has to do with a lawsuit that came up, I believe, with Google. But the ruling Friday by U.S. District Judge Robert Pittman in Austin means that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is free to seek limited discovery from members of two prominent trade groups that sued to block the controversial statute. So the one that I was just talking about is actually, they got sued and now Texas countersued. Now they're able to actually go in and get this information. It includes Twitter, Alphabet, and Facebook. We all know Twitter definitely 100% does it. I mean, they got rid of Donald Trump instantly. They used the insurrection of January 6th and his ability to apparently do mob stuff. The trade groups argue that the statute will force social media platforms to host extremist content in violation of their user policies, and that Paxton discovery request was designed to further antagonize the targets of the law. So that's the crazy thing. This right here literally states that people like myself and the people just people that are free thinking Americans in general, they're putting us as extremist content that violate their user policies. That is so stupid. That, you know how dumb that is? I legitimately, along with thousands of other people that are on social media, literally fought actual extremists in other countries to give these people the right to do this to people in America. That, you know how goofy that is? That is stupid, 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 stupid stuff. Well, that's what happens when you have big tech. They got too big for their own good. I'm actually not against big tech being so big. It doesn't bother me because capitalism is what it is. That's their size doesn't bother me. It's the fact that they have so much power on when it comes to, like, if you think about it, 10 years ago, 20 years or year ago, social media wasn't that big of a deal. So when it comes to elections or anything like that, if they're so big, they literally can steer an audience to vote in whatever way they would like to. I mean, it is what it is. If they're big, because they are clearly 100% YouTube and Facebook, as much as people may not realize this, they are much, much, much larger than Fox and CNN are tenfold. Like, let's be real. Fox and CNN won't even hold a candlestick to Facebook's numbers, let alone, I mean, Facebook users only takes up 25% of Americans actually make up Facebook's actual user. Like, that's it. 75% comes from the rest of the world. CNN and Fox don't even touch 1/1,000,000,000th of that, I'm sure. I know it is kind of contradicting myself to kind of say that I'm not against big tech being as big as they are, but and then limiting them. If they were just wide open, if they would just let it be, there wouldn't be any issues. My camera guy brought up a point that they need to be public or neutral. But the thing is, if you get government involved, then you can't have government involved inside of any sort of publicly owned business. Not that it can't happen. I know that can't happen. I'm just saying, when it comes to big tech in general, the best way that they should be doing it is letting it go free, like just free as what it is, willy-nilly, unless it has to do with pedophilia and actual terrorism. Other than that, or in drug use, human smuggling, stuff like that, those actual definitive hard lines should be monitored. Like, those are the hard lines you cannot cross. You know what I mean? There's probably many more, but I'm just hitting on a couple. But when it comes to politics, doesn't matter if you're left, right, or center, I think they should have just made it wide open, and we'd be fine. We wouldn't have these conversations. Now we're getting into the meat and potatoes of exactly what we're going to discuss today. We always bring up, I try to talk about police shootings and just violence in general, so people have an actual understanding, maybe once a week on what is actually going on. When it comes to why defunding the police and doing that kind of stuff is actually a terrible, terrible thing. Here's Portland again. I told you guys maybe a couple weeks ago, they were getting really close to breaking their all-time record ever in history for having the most shootings. Back in the 80s, was pretty bad for everywhere in America. But here recently, Portland, Oregon responded to at least 19 shootings across the city during the weekend, this last weekend, including a double homicide that just pushed the city past its three-decade record number in killings. So it reported Sunday's killings would bring the city homicide toll to 71. This year, breaking the record of 70 set in 1987. And it has everything to do with the political stance and everything that's going on up there when it comes to defunding the police and trying to change everything when it comes. And you can't say it doesn't. There's not a single person right here, right now today, that could tell me they could try to blame the coronavirus and people staying home just being an uptick, but that's not the case. Let's be real. Let's call it is. This is black and white as it could be. The city has had more than 1,000 shootings in 2021. At least 314 people have been injured by bullets. Firearms have accounted for more than three quarters of the homicides, and police attribute much of the gunfire to gangs, fights, and retaliation killings, but they're also affecting bystanders. So apparently Portland's police department is struggling to keep up amid an acute staffing shortage and budget cuts. There you go. There's the truth right there. It's a God honest truth. And you cut your staff, you cut your budget. Guess what happens? You're not going to have as many cops on the streets doing their job, and it's just going to keep going on. But on a good note, DeSantis down in Florida is doing something that's even crazier. He's actually giving people $5,000. Yes. Let's see. In Florida, it says that not only are we going to want to protect the law enforcement, all jobs, we're actually actively working to recruit out-of-state law enforcement because we do have needs of police and sheriffs there in Florida. So they need needs. They have needs. They want to hire more people. So right now, they're actually putting up right now a legislation that's hopefully going to get signed this next time that it comes around to give $5,000 bonuses to any out-of-state law enforcement that relocates to Florida. And they're actually mainly going after the ones that lost their jobs due to not wanting to get the vaccine and losing their jobs, which I don't know if you guys realize what he actually touches on here, which I guess I'll just read. DeSantis argued on Sunday that coronavirus vaccine mandates will have a wreak on the economy as a whole, which it has anything to do with. Look at what's going on with the distribution here in America. You literally took 2 weeks off from transport, and now you have a lag in empty store shelves in certain areas of the country. And a lot of I don't believe that we're not going to not have toys for Christmas. And I think that's just a article headline. But I'm just saying that's literally what happens when you guys take one piece out of the puzzle that's been working very well, like a well-old machine. But it goes on to say that what Biden is doing unconstitutional. He does not have any authority to do this when they're talking about forcing people to get vaccines when it comes to government jobs. In addition to taking away people's personal choices, it will wreak havoc in the economy because even if a small percentage of these folks end up losing their jobs or voluntarily walking away, you have to go through a huge disruption in medical logistics, the one I'm talking about, and in law enforcement. So law enforcement, the reason why you're going to have such a lag there is you guys got to think about it for 1 second. Law enforcement, I'm just going to say, we'll just throw out a number. One cop, 6 months of training, roughly. I don't know exactly, but 4 to 6 months. We'll say 4 to 6 months to become a police officer. If you have a ton that walk out, you're going to have a ton of staffing shortages inside of the police departments throughout the country that are forcing people to get a vaccines, which now you're going to have less cops, this is so ironic because they're talking about defunding the police or getting them more training or whatnot. And yet they're going to get rid of the cops for not getting the vaccine. And then they're going to have a shortage of cops because they don't have enough people that want to be cops. And then they're going to have even more of a shortage because now the ones that want to be cops have to be trained for 6 to 8 months, whatever it is. Plus, you have to find the very select few that are going to have the vaccine in or already have it. Very interesting. I give him props. If he's going to give money to people to move to Florida to be cops, in the end, he may be giving them $5,000 bonuses. But what people don't realize is DeSantis is a very smart guy in the fact that you know how much money he's saving Floridians when it comes to taxpayer dollars spent on training police officers over that 6 month period? $5,000 is a drop in the bucket. Over that 6 month period, you're looking at, we'll say $18,000. Maybe we'll say, how much did it take to train a cop? I know who does know. Siri, how much does it cost to train a cop in Florida? All right. You guys ready? Almost up to $100,000 per cop for training. and it could take up to 18 months worth of training all around from start to finish. So that's how DeSantis is I'm calling him pretty smart. Give him $5,000 bonus to come and work. They get to live in Florida, but a little more free if they're coming from, say, Illinois. Now they get to stay in a state that has nice weather. They get $5,000 bonus, and they probably get paid more, honestly. And they don't have to deal with as many shootings as we're going to find out here in a second as, say, Illinois. I don't know why I just use Illinois. But if you guys didn't know, it was a massive bloody weekend in Chicago, and 25 people were shot there. So this is the other side of the thing. The people in Chicago are actually having to they're the one that are actually taking the burden on, say, Lori Lightfoot's incompetence when it comes to how to handle criminals, to be honest with you. Just be what's called a spade a spade. They're all criminals. Not everybody, but these people I'm about to talk about. So at least 25 individuals were reportedly shot so far this weekend in Chicago, three of whom were shot fatally. A 30-year-old man was gunned down Friday by three male suspects while he's walking the sidewalk. He was struck in the leg and then taken to Mount Sinai Hospital, and there's actually zero suspects in custody. So I guess there was one drive-by. A group of five were also wounded by gunfire on Friday in a Chatham neighborhood. I don't know where that's at. I'm sorry. The group was standing outside when a suspect opened fire and then fled the scene. A male victim was left in critical condition from the gunfire. They do not have anybody at all. So dude just comes up, shoots at five people, shoots them all. And it's just, and then on Saturday, there was a woman who was accidentally shot in the face by her boyfriend at a party. She was taken to hospital and pronounced dead just shortly after. See, that's terrible. It's terrible. That one is not nearly as, I don't think cops would have stopped that one, but that one's just an accident. Other shootings included carjackings and drive-by scenarios. See, that's crazy. 1,606 people were shot in Chicago during a three-month period in the summer. 1,606 people were shot in 3 months during the summer. That is nuts. We have towns in Texas that are smaller than that. That's nuts. The striking violence comes as Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot maintains a standoff with a substantial portion of the city's police department over vaccine mandates. Lightfoot is struggling to rein in her fraternal order of police leadership, which is instructed to officers to ignore the city's mandates and strike against it. What we've seen from the fraternal order of police, and particularly the leadership, is a lot of misinformation, a lot of half-truths, and frankly, flat-out lies in order to induce insurrection, and we're not having it. That's what Lightfoot says. And she goes on to say this, and so we want to make it very, very clear that the law is on our side. We feel very confident about it. I'm going to say right now, she has absolutely no clue what she's doing when it comes to leadership. I don't care what you guys say. Chicago is one of the most piss poor ran cities in all of America. The debt is through the ceiling. Taxes are insane and crime is high as hell. If we want to be complete, I don't care if she's black, white, Asian, Hispanic, I don't care what the fuck she is. If you're an incompetent leader, you are an incompetent leader. And this is one of them. And I don't understand. It's so hard for me to fathom why people vote people of power like this, into power. Like, why do you vote for somebody like this? Is it because she's a black lady inside of Chicago? Is that the reason? Like, that's not a good reason to vote for somebody. Like, I actually wish that we would take candidates in general. I wish we didn't know what their name was. I wish we didn't know what their race was. I wish we didn't know what their age was. I wish that they would actually literally just number candidates by numbers. Like, you know how much greater that'd be? Candidate number 47, candidate number 62, candidate number 73. This is what they like. You don't have a fucking clue what color their skin is. You don't have a clue if they're male, female, or what they are, or what party they are. You just vote for what the fuck they actually care for. That would hold a lot of them accountable. But I don't know. That's just me. Wishful thinking. Now that clearly will never happen, but so goofy. And maybe Mrs. Lightfoot's a nice person. I have no idea, but just because she might be a nice person does not mean she's competent enough to lead an entire city from literally burning from the inside out. You know how many people leave Chicago legitimately due to taxes? Siri, how many people are annually leaving Chicago? Illinois' exodus census data finds people continue to leave the state. Illinois is one of the only states, only one of only two states losing a population or even some of our neighbor states. One of two states losing a population. 80,000 people left Chicago last year, Illinois. 80,000. 80,000 is a lot of people. You know how much money that is equates to when it comes to taxpayer dollars? Think about that. That's kind of crazy. But that is what it is. So if you guys didn't know, apparently America has a gun violence problem. I know we're sitting here talking about this. Now we're getting to the meat and potatoes of the entire thing. Hey, you know, before we get into that one, I did find this. Before we talk about gun violence or anything, this is kind of crazy. If you guys didn't know, there were tens of millions of filthy used medical gloves that have been shipping in. You know, when you have a market, there's always going to be people that are finding a way around it or counterfeiting it, or, you know what I mean, just criminals. Criminals always find their way into a market to make money. It is what it is. Same thing with, like, say, Guggen Bates, for instance. It's always kind of funny because criminals, I call them criminals because it is what it is. I couldn't tell you how many times we have found people trying to sell our molds for our baits. I mean, you literally can buy mold. That's a criminal act. You know why? Because those baits have patents on them. They're patented. So you cannot make a mold and then sell the mold because literally patented product. Anyway, criminals, when you create a market, there's always going to be criminals that come into it. So trash bags stuffed with full used medical gloves. By the way, this is from CNN. So good job, CNN. You actually did something. Full of used medical gloves that some were actually visibly spoiled, some even bloodstained, litter the floor of a warehouse in the outskirts of Bangkok. Yes, we are now over there in Bangkok. Flew out of America over to Bangkok. A months-long CNN investigation. I got to give them props. Give props when it's due. They have found that tens of millions of counterfeit and secondhand nitrile gloves have reached the United States, according to import records and distributors who have bought the gloves themselves. And that's just a tip of the iceberg, by the way, is what this says. That's kind of crazy. What does that mean to you guys? Has someone been giving you guys some prostate exam? Where the fuck was I going with it? I don't even know. Backtrack. Didn't want to talk about anal stuff. So in February and March of this year, U.S. company warned that two federal agencies, Customs and Border Protection and the FDA, that it had received shipments filled with substandard, visibly spoiled or soiled gloves from one company in Thailand. And yet the Thai company managed to ship tens of millions more gloves in the following months. Some have arrived as late as July. This is kind of gross, by the way, just so everybody's aware. So import records show that the U.S. distributors acquired nearly 200 million gloves from Paddy the Room during the pandemic. That's the name of the company, Paddy the Room. P-A-D-D-Y, Paddy the Room. It's unclear what happened to those gloves after they entered the country. 200 million gloves. Air Queen went ahead with a $2.7 million order from Paddy the Room via a third party also based in Asia. They paid 100% up front. They paid $2.7 million. You know those blue gloves that they have at the doctor's offices? Yeah, all up front for those kind of gloves. Whew. Last spring, the outset of the pandemic, the DHS launched a so-called operation. There's literally an operation that was called Operation Stolen Promise to crack down specifically on counterfeit PPE, which Rose says has now made more than 2,000 seizures of COVID-related treatments. You know how wild that is? COVID created its own counterfeit market. Its own legitimate counterfeit market they had to set up a task force for. Nuts. The Thai FDA says that it carried out at least 10 raids in the recent months, seizing substandard used gloves being repackaged in counterfeit nitrile boxes. Some raids found workers scrubbing used gloves by hand in wash bowls and dyeing them with food coloring. That is absolutely disgusting. Here is the final piece, though. Apparently, America has a gun violence problem, if you guys did not know. It has an actual gun violence problem I didn't even know about, but I'm now finding out a little bit about it. I had to click on this one. So mass shootings have dominated the headlines, conversations, and political debates around America gun violence for decades. This is an article, actually. Where is this out of? ABC News. America has a gun violence problem, and what do we do about it? Okay. What do we need to do about it? I'm really interested. Perpetrated in many cases with military-style rifles, they have become a symbol for America's obsession with guns, and high-powered ones at that. As well as it also makes the U.S. an anomaly when it comes to developed world, a wealthy country with an endemic gun violence issue and seemingly inability to solve it. So, I wanted to bring this up and to actually talk about it because I don't think it's actually the gun's fault. I don't. Many times the victims are the gunners themselves or their loved ones, either through suicide or accidental shootings. There have also been 2,606 gun deaths by law enforcement between 2015 and 2019. That's from the CDC. So you've had 2,600 people shot by law enforcement in 4 years. Active shooter incidents, according to the FBI data, have gone from 3 incidents in 2000 to 40 incidents in 19 states in 2020. During that period, shootings have erupted in schools, businesses, open spaces, to name just a few. Now, can we just let it be known? There might have only been 4 in 2000, but what happens when one happens here in America? They talk about it. If they didn't talk about it as much and idolize the people behind the shootings, then we probably wouldn't have as many. If no one even knew about them, no one would have the idea to do them. I know that's a terrible way to think, but just saying, if we didn't idolize, like if you go on Netflix right now, you guys will see. I mean, I'm not saying this is bad because I actually do watch them myself, but you see a lot of murder mysteries and just a lot of murder stuff in general. Like the top podcasts in the world are literally Joe Rogan and then a bunch of crime podcasts. People just enjoy listening to crime. Active shooters situations represent just one kind of mass shooting, but even the wider category resulted in just a mere 1% of all the 191,897 gun deaths between 2015 and 2019. So mass shootings only amounted to 1% of all shootings in those 4 years. So we don't hear about any shootings really other than mass shootings. But in fact, it only takes up 1%. About 74% of the nearly 95,000 homicides that took place between 2015 and 19 were committed using guns. Yes, that would make sense because, well, a lot easier to kill somebody, I guess, with a gun than it is a bat. And is a little bit less humanizing, or I guess it's dehumanizing, I guess. I think it would be easier for an individual to shoot somebody because it doesn't take as much emotion than it would to use a bat. Like, let's think about it. It takes a pretty messed up person in the head to take a hard, big object and then beat somebody in the face with it. It's a little different. The majority of gun homicide victims are young Black men whose neighborhoods and communities are disproportionately impacted by gun violence as well. So I want to talk about this one for a second. This is probably the case, but I think that has to do with more about culture and also mainly the image that people like to have on social media and what they listen to when it comes to music. I think that actually greatly affects human beings in general, not just Black people or white people or whatever it is. I think it's human beings in general are greatly affected by what they listen to when it comes to music and or just how social media people, like the people they look up to, they idolize. Rappers in general, they talk about the same kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not going to name any for the few, but they all talk about, it's really vague. Guns, violence, sex, drugs, stealing stuff, robbing people. You know what I mean? And if these people that are listening to them idolize them, and that's exactly who they strive to be, then you're going to have these people trying to be them when in fact most, I'm not saying a lot of these rappers didn't do this kind of stuff, but I'm saying it has an impact on the younger generation because that's who they're looking up to. Let's be honest. It is what it is. It's a terrible cycle if you think about it. They listen to music. They grow up having to go through whatever it is they go through, living what they rap about, and then they literally are that's how they're being fed down to the younger generation. I also think that when you have a lot of kids out of wedlock and they don't have dads to raise them, I think that's another issue you have within the communities, not either being Black, white, or Asian. I don't think it really matters, but I'm saying if a kid grows up without a father figure around, then you're going to have them probably doing a lot more malicious things and or seeking attention and getting themselves in trouble. They're going to seek attention from an older male individual who at that point is probably going to be into bad shit. Let's just be honest, especially if you're in a community where it's not really higher end or you're in a lower end community. If the kid is actually actively seeking a father figure because he doesn't have one, then they're going to end up going down the same path as that could be a scumbag, or they got lucky and found somebody awesome to follow. So I think it has a little bit more to do, not with your color, your skin, like this is trying to portray here, but I'm talking about it has to do with how you're raised and or how you're trying to appeal to a broader spectrum of people through social media, and what kind of music you listen to probably drastically affects the way you think. Anyway, Black Americans accounted for roughly 57% of all gun homicide victims in the country between 2015 and 19. Majority of the gun homicide victims among Black Americans were those under 35. So once again, young males, I guess you would say. It doesn't say males here. It doesn't. It just says Black Americans under 35. Once again, younger generation, under 35, depends on where you are and how you developed. A lot of men don't grow up until they're 27, 28, for God's sakes. I thought I grew up when I was 22 or 21 or 20, but I was not an adult at all. I thought this was kind of an interesting piece to bring up, because a lot of people probably don't speak on it like I do because they're too scared. Anyway, the national age-adjusted gun homicide rate was 4.47 per 100,000 in the CDC. That's what they were showing. So national age-adjusted gun homicide rate was 4.5 per 100,000 people. But some highly populated counties, such as Cook County, Illinois, which includes Chicago, had a high gun violence homicide rate that was 12 per 100,000. So this goes back to me talking about Chicago. A lot of rappers and all that kind of images come out of Chicago, correct? They talk about drugs and guns and violence and everything there stems around that. That's all they talk about. So if you talk about it and you want to be perceived as being a hard ass, and that's the life you want to live, I mean, that's the end. That's what's going to end up happening, is it not? That's what they know, and that's what they grew up around. A lot of people would probably say that I'm racist for saying that. That's not even close to being the fact. That's me being honest and speaking the truth about it, and it's probably not the most enjoyable thing to hear. You can't just remove all the guns out of those people's areas, because they're going to find another way to inflict harm on each other. It's just the way it is. Criminals are criminals. So guns just make it a lot easier. Let's just be honest. It just makes it a lot more, I don't know, you're not as close to your victim. You know, I was trying to explain earlier. But I just wanted to bring that one up right there. I don't think America has a gun violence problem, and there's nothing you could do about it, because America itself doesn't have a gun violence problem. It's how people are raised and how they think and what image they're trying to portray and who they look up to. That's the problem in America. It's not the guns. Because you could take the guns away from the people and you could replace it with a hammer or a nail gun or a wrench or a bat. It doesn't matter. Yes, you might have less homicides, but the same people that are willing to shoot somebody are going to find a way to still commit the crimes. Either be a brick, bat, doesn't matter. I just wanted to touch on it because I don't think America has a gun violence problem. I think it has a parenting problem, more or less. So I hope you guys did enjoy this video over here. I got a lot of stuff I got to knock out today. Got Guggen Uncut launching later on today. I do love you guys. Thanks for hanging out with me on the podcast. We're back. I do love you. So I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.